ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम सिक्स्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 16 टेक्स्ट 36। द चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड किंग चित्रकेतु मीट्स द लॉर्ड। परम अणु परम महतोः त्वं आदि अंत अंतर वर्ति
परमाणु परम महतो त्वमाद्यंतर वर्ति त्रय विदुरः आदवन्ते पिच सत्वानां यद्रुहं तदेवंतरालेपि।
ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। यू एग्जिस्ट इन द बिगिनिंग मिडल एंड एंड ऑफ एवरीथिंग फ्रॉम द मोस्ट माइन्यूट पार्टिकल ऑफ द कॉस्मिक मैनिफेस्टेशन द एटम टू द जाइगेंटिक यूनिवर्सेस एंड टोटल मटेरियल एनर्जी। नॉनदलेस यू आर इटर्नल having no beginning, end or middle. You are perceived to exist in these three phases and thus you are permanent. When the cosmic manifestation does not exist, you exist as the original potency. Purport. The Brahma Samhita says, Advaitam achyutam anadim anantarupam adhyam purana purusham navayavvanam cha vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktav Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, Krishna, who is the original person, absolute, infallible, without beginning, although expanded into unlimited forms, still the same original, the oldest, and the person always appearing as a fresh youth. Such external, blissful, all-knowing forms of Lord cannot be understood even by the best Vedic scholars, but they are always manifest to pure, unalloyed devotees. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no cause, for He is the cause of everything. The Lord is beyond the workings of cause and effect. He is eternally existing. In another verse, the Brahma Samhita says, Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham. The Lord exists within the gigantic universe and within the atom. The descent of Lord into atom and the universe indicates that without His presence, nothing could factually exist. Scientists say that water is a combination of hydrogen and oxygen. But when they see a vast ocean, they are puzzled about where such a quantity of hydrogen and oxygen could have come from. They think that everything evolved from chemicals, but where did the chemicals come from? That they do not know, since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes. He can produce immense quantities of chemicals to create a situation for chemical evolution. We actually see that chemicals are produced from living entities. For example, a lemon tree produces many tons of citric acid. The citric acid is not the cause of the tree. Rather, the tree is the cause of the acid. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of everything. He is the cause of the tree that produces the citric acid. Bijam mam sarva bhutanam. Devotees can see that the original potencies causing the cosmic manifestations are not in chemicals but in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for He is the cause of the chemicals. Everything is caused or manifested by the energy of the Supreme Lord, and when everything is annihilated or dissolved, the original potency enters the body of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, this verse says, Adav ante pichi sattvanam yad dhruvam tad evantaralepi. The word Dhruvam means permanent. The permanent reality is Krishna, not this cosmic manifestation. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Adirhi Devanam and Mattah Sarvam Pravartate. Krishna is the original cause of everything. Arjuna recognized Lord Shri Krishna as the original person. Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum. And the Brahma Samhita describes him as the original person, Govinda Madhi Purusham. He is the cause of all causes, whether at the beginning, at the end, or in the middle. Om Ajna Krishna. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a beautiful verse which talks about how a devotee gets transcendental knowledge. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayat Ahaitukum. By rendering devotional service into the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the material world. Maharaj Chitraketu, about whom this discussion is going on, in fact, what we have chanted now is one of the prayers of Chitraketu Maharaj. He is a wonderful example illustrating this verse. Chitraketu Maharaj was on a material platform before he met Angira Muni and Narad Muni. Narad Muni, by his causeless mercy, chose to bestow upon him the gift of devotional service and suggested to him a path whereby he could please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, following the instructions of Srila Narad Muni, Chitraketu Maharaj, he performed his devotional service. It is described for 7 days, and then he had the meeting with the Lord of his heart. He met with Lord Shesha Sankarsana. And we find that after he had this beautiful darshan of the Supreme Lord, he became endowed with knowledge, transcendental knowledge, with which he is in a position now to glorify the Supreme Lord with his prayers. We don't read beforehand that he had transcendental knowledge and that he could, you know, chant prayers in glorification of the Lord. But this was the outcome of his devotional service for a very short time. Therefore, it says that it janayati ashu. Ashu means very quickly. So in case of Chitraketu Maharaj, he became endowed or empowered with knowledge with which he chanting different prayers. Now, one who does not know or does not realize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original Purusha, the original person, the Supreme Controller, the Supreme Proprietor, the Supreme Enjoyer, such a person can be said to be in ignorance. He may be knowing at a surface level many transcendental subject matters. He may even be knowing something about the Lord Krishna, but if he does not realize this, that he is the cause of all causes, he is still in the level of certain modicum of ignorance. Therefore, it is very, very important to have this knowledge. Now, how is ignorance to be dispelled? Ignorance can only be dispelled by knowledge. Darkness only be expelled by lighting a mastic. Right? So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Jnanena tu tat ajnanam yesham nashitam atmanah tesham adityavat jnanam prakashayati tat param. So when one is enlightened with knowledge by which the nascience, a person's nascience is destroyed, then that knowledge reveals everything as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So when we have this light of knowledge in our heart, the ignorance is automatically dispelled. So there is this famous statement about this Rajju and Sarpanaya. If one sees a rope in darkness, there is a possibility under illusion we may think that it's a snake and may even get overwhelmed with fear. But you just light a mastic, very little light you generate, and then you see that it's not a snake, it is just a piece of rope. So this is the power of light of knowledge. And therefore, it is the motto of our Back to Godhead magazine. Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Hai Andhakar, Yaha Krishna Taha Nahi, Maya Ra Adhikar. So Krishna is compared to sunshine, bright light. And as soon as the sunlight and darkness do not coexist, as soon as there is sunlight, darkness is immediately gone. So similarly here, we find that by pleasing the Supreme Lord, Chitraketu Maharaj becomes endowed with knowledge. And he is able to see things in their proper perspective. So, nahi jnanena sadrusham pavitram iha vidyate. It is said that there is nothing so sublime and nothing so pure as transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge has the capacity to remove all shades of ignorance in a living entity. And therefore, it is very important to have this knowledge. Now, what is the perfection of knowledge? There can be knowledge and knowledge different levels. We are not talking about materialistic knowledge, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur labels it as Jada Vidya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls all education, whether it is from IITs or any such place, he calls it as Jada Vidya. Since he's sitting just opposite me, I'm taking. So he calls it Jada Vidya. I am also a product of university. He calls it Jada Vidya. And Atma Vidya is something infinitely higher. So what is the perfection of knowledge? Krishna himself tells us what is perfection of knowledge. Bahunam janmanamante jnanavanma prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samatma sudurlava. So after passing through many, many births, he who actually is in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. So when a devotee is endowed with this Vasudeva Sarvam Iti consciousness, that can be construed as perfection of knowledge. This is my perception. I am a person with so many problems. But this is what Krishna is conveying, that one may surrender to the Lord in awe and reverence. But when one surrenders to Krishna in loving devotional service, knowing him to be Sarva Karana Karanam, that becomes perfection of knowledge. And we find here that by the causeless mercy of Srila Narada Muni and by the mercy and grace of the Supreme Lord himself, this Chitraketu Maharaj is reaching that level of Vasudeva Sarvamiti consciousness. And this is reflected in the prayers that are being now discussed. So we see it in the preceding prayer also. So Chitraketu glorifies the Supreme Lord. He says, Tava Vibhava Khalu Bhagavan Jagat Udaya Sthiti Laya Adini. So he says that, my dear Lord, this cosmic manifestation and its creation, maintenance and annihilation are all but your opulences. So this realization he has. And what is more, he goes little ahead and he says also that since Lord Brahma and other creators are nothing but small portions of a portion of you, their partial power to create does not make them God. Their consciousness of themselves as separate lords is therefore merely false prestige. It is not valid. So in one stroke, he is realizing that cosmic manifestation, its creation and maintenance are some of the opulences of the Supreme Lord. Not all the opulences, some of the opulences of the Supreme Lord. And that Lord Brahma and other lords of the universe who are in charge of material affairs, they derive their power from the Supreme Lord. And that power is, what is the extent of that power? That is just a portion, a small portion of the power that the Supreme Lord has. Yad yad vibhuti mat satvam, shrimat urjitam eva va, ತತ್ತದ್ ಏವ ಅವಗಚ್ಛತ್ವಂ ಮಮ ತೇಜೋಂಶ ಸಂಭವಂ. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಸ್ಪ್ಲೆಂಡರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಗ್ಲೋರಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ದಟ್ ಯು ಮೇ ಸೀ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಮಮ ತೇಜ ಅಂಶ ಸಂಭವಂ. ಸೊ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಅ ಸ್ಪಾರ್ಕ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೈ ಸ್ಪ್ಲೆಂಡರ್. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ರಿಯಲೈಸೇಷನ್ ಚಿತ್ರಕೇತು ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್. ಸೊ ವಾಟ್ ರಿಯಲೈಸೇಷನ್ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಎಂಡೋರ್ಸ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ದಿ ವರ್ಸ್ which Shri Krishna himself says, the Supreme Lord says. So therefore one can understand that what is the gift of devotional service. Very many times people say that you are a devotee, you are chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but you know, you should equip yourself with knowledge, you should study Vedas, you should do this, you should do that. But then very clearly it is mentioned that just by the process of devotional service we can also acquire knowledge, transcendental knowledge, and also detachment, which are the two integral factors in our spiritual life. Both are very much required. It is not to scoff at knowledge. Transcendental knowledge is a requirement, but we gain it automatically by the process of devotional service, following a particular path that has been recommended by the spiritual master. One can make progress and acquire that spiritual knowledge by which we can make progress. So this is the verse, the preceding verse. And in the present verse, Chitraketu Maharaj is glorifying the Supreme Lord by saying that the Lord is the beginning, middle and end of everything. Now this is very important. Again, this statement of the Lord is also endorsed in Bhagavad Gita. ಸರ್ಗಾಣಾಮಾದಿ ಅಂತಶ್ಚ ಮಧ್ಯಂ ಚೈವ ಅಹಂ ಅರ್ಜುನ ಅಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮ ವಿದ್ಯಾ ವಿದ್ಯಾನಾಂ ವಾದಃ ಪ್ರವದತಾಮಹಂ. ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಷನ್ಸ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ದ ಬಿಗಿನಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಎಂಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ದ ಮಿಡಲ್ ಓ ಅರ್ಜುನ. ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ಸೈನ್ಸಸ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ದ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ಸೈನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅಮಂಗ್ ಲಾಜಿಷಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಕನ್ಕ್ಲೂಸಿವ್ ಟ್ರುತ್. ಸೊ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಈಸ್ ಎಂಡೋರ್ಸಿಂಗ್ the realizations of Chitraketu Maharaj conveyed through this prayer. So this itself establishes the level of knowledge which Chitraketu Maharaj has obtained by the grace of his spiritual master and by the grace of the Supreme Lord. Now, he says here one more thing, that you exist in the beginning, middle and end of everything. But he also says that, Traya Viduraha has been translated by Prabhupada as although without beginning, end or middle. So you are the beginning, you are the middle and the end, but you are also without beginning, middle and end. Inconceivable. That is Krishna. Anything inconceivable which we cannot understand through our gray cells, that's Krishna. So, and Srila Prabhupada in quoting two verses from Brahma Samhita also is establishing the inconceivable nature of the Supreme Lord. He says that is the original person, absolute, infallible, without beginning, although expanded into unlimited forms. And still the same original, the oldest, and always appearing as a fresh youth. Inconceivable. That is Krishna. Then he gives another reference to Brahma Samhita. He says, ekopi asav rachayitum jagadanda kotim yat shakti rasti jagat andachayat yadantam andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So the work of creation of millions of worlds, despite doing all this, his potency remains unchanged, if not altered. And all the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. Again, inconceivable Krishna. So, he creates millions and millions of worlds, but his potency remains the same. He is not exhausted. Sometimes people do some creative work and they say, okay, I am exhausted, now I want to take vacation for a few days, refresh myself. No, despite doing all this, his potencies remain unchanged. And he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered. He's there in everything and in between atoms also. So we read that everybody is aware of that beautiful pastime of Lord Krishna eating mud. So when Yashoda Mai gets a complaint that Krishna has eaten mud, especially supported by Balramji also, Yashoda Mai takes it seriously. Balram also is complaining, not just his friends. So she goes to investigate and asks Krishna to open his mouth. And what does she see in the mouth? She sees all the universe is Brahman. Everything she sees in the mouth of the lotus mouth of the Supreme Lord. And in that she sees the Lord himself, and she also sees herself within that. So the entire cosmic manifestation is a projection that comes out from the Supreme Lord Krishna. So it is outside him, it is also within everything. This is just an example which can illustrate the point. So it is indeed inconceivable for us to really appreciate it in its fullest extent. But suffice it to say that he exists in all the atoms at one and the same time. It is not that sometimes he is here and sometimes he is not there. So how does the Supreme Lord, who is performing his pastimes in Golok Vrindavan, how does he accomplish all these things? Creation of universes, being there in the universe, how does he do that? So the Shastra tells us that the activities of the material world are directed by the three Vishnu expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the Purushavataras. So Mahavishnu, he is the one who creates the total material energy, Mahat Tattva. Millions of universes sprout from the pores of his body, that's what we understand. And that when he breathes in, breathes out, that time duration is the lifespan of Brahma. So this is Mahavishnu. Then Garbhodakashayi Vishnu, he enters all the universes to create different diversities. And Kshirodakashayi Vishnu, he is diffused in the as the all-pervading super soul, Paramatma, and he is present within the atoms. So it says that anyone who knows these three Vishnus, he is liberated. So this is the way the Supreme Lord achieves his wonderful accomplishments are due to the work being done. He delegates the authority to all this, and this is done. Now Srila Prabhupada in his purport also makes a reference to the world of material science. He refers to chemistry. Somehow fortunately this purport has come to me. So Prabhupada in the science of self-realization, there is a chapter, those who have read it, he calls the scientists and their world as tiny world of material science. Tiny world of material science. So Krishna says that amongst the sciences, he is Atma Vidya. He is the science of the spirit, soul. So the ultimate science is the science of the Bhagavad Gita is science of the soul. The ultimate science is this science. If I may be permitted, I may quote some personal example. When I came into Krishna consciousness in 1992, I was head of the chemistry department, and I had several research students working on different projects with me. And whenever any visitors from other universities would come, they would ask me, "You are a scientist guiding research students. How come, you know, you have accepted this bhakti yoga, and you are talking about Bhagavad Gita? How come you have received it?" So my answer would be standard. I would say that this is the science of the soul, the supreme science. And therefore, there is absolutely no contradiction. A scientist need not feel guilty that he is taken to the path of bhakti yoga. It is supreme. So thus, Krishna is the supreme scientists, and everything that you see in the external world, material world, is finally his emanation from him, isn't it? Aham sarvasya prabho matta sarvam pravartate. All the material worlds and transcendental world just emanate from the Supreme Lord Krishna. So what do the scientists really do? Actually, I'm analyzing myself. So what do the scientists really do? Scientists analyze the external world. They may perform experiments in the laboratory to prove something, and after performing experiments, they derive an inference or they come to a particular conclusion. They are called as experimental scientists. They work in the laboratory and derive. They come to some conclusions, propose some theory, like that. Then there are theoretical scientists. They do not work in the laboratory. They work in the recesses of their mind. Albert Einstein did not work in the laboratory. He was a theoretical physicist, a mathematician. And his theory of relativity was a projection of his mind. So both ways, the scientists, experimentally as well as theoretically, come to certain conclusions. And very many times they do wonderful work. Science has made giant strides. And so many things one has come to know. Chemicals, Prabhupada refers to chemicals. Chemicals are produced in our body, body of human beings. Chemicals can also be produced from microbes, microorganisms. Chemicals are produced by plants, bacteria, so on and so forth. So chemicals are produced, Prabhupada makes a statement, by living organisms. Chemicals do not produce living organisms. This is the fundamental principle on which so much discussion has taken place in ISKCON. I don't want to go into the details. So this is the fundamental principle which Prabhupada has emphasized time and again. In fact, he has hammered it again and again. And this he wanted to be preached to the world of scientists. So who view everything in isolation, they derive a particular conclusion from some experiments they have performed. And sometimes the instruments used for deriving a certain conclusion become outdated over a period of time. I remember that when I was a student, there was an instrument called Nuclear Magnetic Resonance Spectrometer, NMR. You must be knowing. So NMR, so during our time when we were students, they said 60 megahertz is the last word on structure. You use NMR and everything is fine. Just a few years later, publications, especially foreign publications, they said, if you have 60 megahertz NMR, we don't accept your publication. You must have 100 megahertz. Then they said 100 megahertz is not good enough. You must have 300 megahertz, then 500 megahertz, 1000 megahertz. So the scientist is completely at a loss sometimes because the advancement, so-called advancement, takes place at such a rapid place that whatever conclusions he has drawn become obsolete over a period of time. So this is, therefore, I think Prabhupada is justified in calling it tiny world of science. It is tiny because it can never really match up to the real knowledge which we can get only when we understand Krishna, who is the repository of all knowledge. It is true that we have understood so many things about nature. We have understood so many things about our own body by using science as a weapon. Science, for example, has recognized that the process of tasting, we taste something or we smell something or we see something, all this, or we touch and get a particular experience, all this are being explained now by science. For example, tasting. Science says that if you taste cheese, for example, moment you put cheese in your on your tongue, there will be certain taste buds which will secrete certain chemicals which will appreciate you to taste that cheese. The process of smelling. You smell a rose, a particular flower, rose. Now, rose emits a fragrance, which is a chemical, and that is sensed by release of certain chemicals which are there behind the nose, inside the recesses of the nose. Seeing, we see with our eyes. So, physics tells us that you are able to sense different wavelengths of light, and therefore you can see different types of light. So, thus, touching, we touch and we experience something. Those are also explained in terms of nerve endings and proteins which constitute the surface of the skin. So thus many, many things are explained away by science. But the problem, and Srila Prabhupada, who who is in this Vasudeva Sarvamiti consciousness. He sees everything in relation to Krishna. And this lacuna is what makes science, material science, a tiny, tiny thing. Now, Prabhupada gives very beautiful examples in his purport. He says that you can isolate, you can get citric acid from lemons. In some other purport, he says you can get it also from oranges. Prabhupada was a chemist. Yes, it's true. You can produce citric acid from these entities. But a chemist or a scientist cannot put citric acid into lemon. He doesn't put it into that. He doesn't produce the tree which produces lemons. So this is an immediate limitation which we can understand very readily. So this is true of most of the things. If you look at the trees, there is green coloring matter in the trees, which we call as chlorophyll. Very complex structure. But you can see that all the greenery is there due to chlorophyll, but no scientist has put chlorophyll into the leaves. So we can understand, therefore, that a greater scientist, the greatest of all the scientists, has done all these things. And the scientists are merely touching the surface of things. I'd like to give one example, which is a classic example. Now, all of us require vitamins. And vitamin B12, which is called as cyanocobalamin. Please don't get bewildered by my terms. Just understand the principle. This vitamin B12, one of the essential B complex vitamins. Many of us swallow vitamins at times. Now, this is a very complex structure. And it was very brilliantly investigated also. But nobody could make it in the laboratory. They are made by bacilli. Lactobacillus leishmani is the source which produces vitamin B12 in the body also. Now, people wanted to synthesize this molecule. It was a challenge. And if you just go through that particular piece of research work, for a scientist it is very amazing. It took 99 scientists from 19 countries spread over 11 years. And the work was done by collaborative research. A famous man from Harvard, his name was Professor R.B. Woodward, and a famous man from Zurich, his name was Eschen Moser. Both are Nobel laureates. They collaborated and produced a few milligrams of vitamin B12. Few milligrams, whereas nature can produce it abundantly. So what do we understand from this? Now, it was hailed as a big achievement, and it is an achievement, but it is nothing compared to what the nature does. Another wonderful molecule, penicillin. Everybody has heard of penicillin. Penicillin is produced from Penicillium chrysogenum. You can make it on a large scale. But no scientist has put penicillin in that particular microorganism. He simply has learned the art of making it from microbes over a period of time, very, very labored, intensive efforts to make it. And thus, he has been able to do this. So, what one has to understand, which is what Srila Prabhupada points out very, very nicely in his purport, is that whatever the scientists accomplish, it is from ingredients that are already available in nature. Prabhupada gives the classic example of water, H2O. Now, scientists have made water in the laboratory. You can combine hydrogen and oxygen and make H2O. You may exhaust a couple of hydrogen cylinders and oxygen cylinders to make a few milliliters of water. Use an electric discharge and you can make them combine and you can make a few milliliters of water. But Prabhupada is asking the questions. Who made the vast reservoirs of water in the lakes, in the rivers, in the oceans, if we were to just think of all this at in the world at large, think of all the water reservoirs in the universe, it's amazing which scientists using what type of cylinders made all those water reservoirs. So it is simply inconceivable. So if you just analyze this objectively, even the most brilliant scientist can understand that there are limitations to his theory and his understanding of things. Everything that he makes is created by the Supreme Lord. So if we understand this, then there are no problems. Prabhupada called scientists as rascals. I am one of the rascals also. So it's true. Why is a scientist called a rascal? Because he is not able to appreciate the most important truth, and that is everything comes from Krishna. He has not made anything. Now this hydrogen and oxygen, does a scientist make it? No. What does he do? He separates the constituents of air by a technological process and makes hydrogen and oxygen. Right? Now, no scientist synthesizes air itself. From where do we get air? Krishna. Bhumi rapo analo vayu kham mano buddhirevach. So it is the Lord who gives us, supplies us with air. He supplies us with all the ingredients that we want. The earth planet is full of so many minerals and so many chemicals. The plants are full of so many chemicals. So many steroidal hormones, which pharmaceutical industry makes today, they're all derived from plants. Plants supply those. So, actually an objective analysis on the part of any intelligent person would reveal the fact that everything is not made by a scientist. He starts from a particular point. It's like a carpenter starting from wood that is supplied to him. Now, out of that wood, using his artistry, using his intelligence, he's making so many things which are very appealing, aesthetically pleasing also. But then he didn't manufacture the wood. Somebody gave him that wood. Similarly, if one understands this in the right perspective, that everything that we have is God-given, then we are on a proper footing. Similarly, we can understand that even this Krishna consciousness in which we are, it is not something that we got it by our own endeavor. Isn't it? We were gifted. Some pure devotee of the Lord gave it as a gift to us. And when we receive a gift, we are thankful. So we should be thankful. We should be thankful to the spiritual master. We should be thankful to Srila Prabhupada or Param Guru. We should be thankful to the Supreme Lord for giving us this gift. We cannot say that we manufactured Krishna consciousness. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original Adi Purusha, Govindam Adi Purusham. So that Supreme Personality of Godhead, understanding about him has come. Though of course it's our nature to serve Krishna, but this knowledge has been given to us by the spiritual master. So we should acknowledge this. So this beautiful purport, long purport of Srila Prabhupada, I don't know whether I can do full justice to it, but this is my understanding of what Srila Prabhupada would like to convey through this particular prayer of Chitraketu Maharaj. Hare Krishna. If anybody has any questions or comments, I see Shamanand Prabhu and other exalted devotees, Radha Gopinath Prabhu sitting here. Anybody would like to make comments, please feel free. Srimad Bhagavat Puranam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudev ki jai.